Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Most of Maryland's mass vaccination sites are slated to close in coming weeks as the state focuses on targeted campaigns to close the gap. Later we'll hear how Liberty Grace Church of God in Baltimore is collaborating with public health and interfaith communities to help people make informed decisions about vaccination. But first, an update on vaccine outreach among Maryland's Hispanic and Latino communities. The New York Times reports that the Hispanic share of vaccinated people in Maryland grew from 4% in March to 7% in May. Closer to, it's still below, the 10% share Hispanics or Latinos hold in the state's population. Recent data from the Kaiser Family Foundation shows enthusiasm. One out of three unvaccinated Hispanic adults says they want to get a vaccine as soon as possible. And unvaccinated Hispanic adults are half as likely as unvaccinated white adults to say they will definitely not get the vaccine. Joining me now is Dr. Michelle LaRue, Senior Manager of Health and Social Services for CASA, a nonprofit that works to expand opportunities for Latino and immigrant people across Maryland, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, Dr. LaRue.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
What kind of door-to-door vaccine outreach has CASA done during the pandemic?
We've done a lot of outreach during the pandemic, supporting our communities through all of the phases of the pandemic. So helping them get connected to social services, knowing that our community has been one of the hardest hit, making sure they're up to date with the information, knowing that our communities had some lag in getting the information out to them. Many times information was only being put out in English or being put out in channels that they don't tune into. And so making sure that our communities were up to date with where we were with the pandemic, what services were available for them, like testing now, like vaccines, but also all of the social services programs that have been stood up to support families that have been hard hit throughout the pandemic.
How are organizers trained to talk about getting the vaccine?
We've consistently been doing trainings, specifically coming out of my department, around the different hot topics with the vaccines or with the pandemic overall. So, you know, at the beginning, you know, what was this pandemic all about? What was COVID? What was the virus that was causing it? What were some of the, you know, mitigation strategies that we could use to prevent getting COVID? Where we could turn to for more information and more resources. And so we've been consistently doing this as the different phases of the pandemic have been evolving. So how to get connected to testing. Now the key one is how to get connected to vaccines and the importance of vaccines and dispelling some of the myths that we're seeing in our community.
What are the myths you hear most often? I mean, what are these conversations like?
One, I think it's critical that the organizers and the promotoras de salud, our community health workers, are the key messengers here. They're already trusted in our community. They've gained that trust. So they're very much relatable to community members. And so we see this as a very effective tool to be able to not only educate, but motivate community members around vaccines. And so we've been doing a lot of this work, like I said, throughout the entire pandemic and even many years prior to the pandemic. And it has just served to be able to be that vital link between organizations and the health departments, as well as to our community.
What appears to be a bigger barrier to vaccination, misinformation or logistical challenges?
I think it's a combination. I think no one size fits all any sector of the community, and definitely not the community at large. And our community is no different there. For many, it's been a challenge of trying to find when and where they could get one that isn't going to be too difficult. So whether it's a transportation challenge, whether it's a timing challenge, our community has been so hard hit throughout the pandemic, and then to ask them to take a day off to come to a daytime clinic when they're working, especially knowing the industries that our community works in. Many times they work in industries that don't offer paid sick leave. And so taking a day off from work to get a vaccine is a day you're not getting paid. that much less you're earning that week to be able to feed your families, to pay the rent. And I think that's just a lot to ask.
That's Dr. Michelle LaRue, Senior Manager of Health and Social Services for CASA, here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the on-the-ground efforts to vaccinate Maryland's Latino and Hispanic community. CASA has held vaccination clinics at its locations across the state. What kind of progress have you made?
We have now done over 6,000 vaccines across the CASA footprint. So we're very proud of the work that we've done. We won't stop until we have everyone vaccinated. I think we're coming into a new phase within the vaccine work. I think everyone who is very eager to get vaccinated, most have. And so now it's making sure that we break down any of the remaining barriers to get the rest of those that have not gotten vaccinated yet to get vaccinated. So whether that's a timing issue, we have now started offering more and more of our clinics in the evenings and afternoons, weekends, so that they don't have to take time off from work, hosting them at our locations because we are within the community that we serve, but also bringing the vaccine clinics mobile to be able to better serve those that have transportation challenges and go to them with the vaccines. We're also now needing to do more of this outreach campaign to make sure that we dispel any misinformation, any myths that might still be lingering, that might be many times the reason why the community member is hesitant to get the vaccine.
Do you have a sense of who else in Maryland is working in the Latino community on vaccinations?
This is definitely a team effort. There's many community-based organizations that are working on this. Community clinics are also working on this. Local, state health departments and other entities, churches are doing a great job as well of collaborating with vaccinators to bring these directly to our communities. I think we need to offer as many avenues and variety in being able to get connected to a vaccine as possible, so that our communities have no hurdles other than just taking that time out to get it.
What lessons do you hope public health officials take away from the past year?
I'd like to see a lot of the infrastructure that has been created throughout this pandemic to better serve the different sectors of our community sustain even beyond the pandemic. I do think we're starting to get to the end of the pandemic, which is wonderful news. The recovery is still going to take a long time, but we also need to be prepared for any other crises, whether it's another pandemic, hopefully not, or something more local, a fire or some other natural disaster. This infrastructure has proven to be vital in responding to any kind of emergency, and I'd like to see that this is a model that's sustainable.
As you said, it looks like we can start to see an end to the pandemic. At this point, 7 out of 10 adults in Maryland have received at least one dose of a COVID vaccine. So in addition to continued vaccine outreach, what other health issues are on your mind as we emerge from the pandemic?
Mental health is definitely front and center. I think we've all suffered from COVID fatigue. We've all felt the effects of not being able to socialize, and some of us have felt more the isolation from the pandemic than others. But I think we've all been hit, whether it's socially, economically, mentally, physically. I think that is something we're definitely going to need to pay attention to, and that those effects can also linger way beyond the pandemic. And so that's something we need to address, or we'll have another crisis on our hand. As I was saying before, the recovery from the pandemic is going to outlast the pandemic by a long time. Our communities need our assistance in getting back on their feet. Many weren't able to work as they normally would and have gotten behind on bills. And so I think this is going to be a long process still to come to support our families through the last bits of the pandemic and its consequences.
Dr. LaRue, thanks for taking time to talk to us. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Dr. Michelle LaRue directs Health and Social Services for CASA. Educators for Equities, Vaccine Hunters, or La Casa Vacunas, also has pivoted from tracking down appointments to organizing clinics. Lots of information at their Facebook page. We have a link at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break now. When we're back, how the faith community in Baltimore is spreading the science behind the COVID-19 vaccine. I'm Sheila Gass. Stay with us.
The On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. 7 out of 10 Maryland adults have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine, but disparities persist. Maryland's white population is less than twice the size of its black population, 1.9 times to be precise. Yet the Baltimore Sun reports that 2.5 times more white people than black people have been fully vaccinated in the state. Local churches are playing a role in closing that gap by helping people access information, ask questions, and overcome logistical challenges. Reverend Dr. Terrace King is pastor of Liberty Grace Church of God in Baltimore's Ashburton neighborhood. He's also a healthcare scientist who worked 3 decades in the field of government healthcare and founded and directed the Office of Minority Health at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Pastor King, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to be here with you.
What kind of COVID-19 outreach has Liberty Grace been doing over the past 15 months?
Well, our efforts, both in terms of Liberty Grace and my working with two entities, Johns Hopkins University and the Baltimore City Health Department, started with the flu vaccine. But there were conversations then about COVID. It started with listening sessions to congregations and community members about how they felt about the flu vaccine and questions they had around COVID. And so at that point, we were able to work with them to raise by 13 to 15% the flu vaccine rates in Baltimore. That was the first stage of the process, but it established an infrastructure of religious leaders, starting out with Christian leaders, but it broadened to an interfaith group that included our rabbis and imams in the Jewish and Islamic religious sects. And so we worked with all those and we established a broader coalition. And that coalition, we started once again with religious leaders from huge churches to community-based churches. And we addressed their needs, what information they needed to get to their congregations and how they were to go about dealing with their own fears and the fears of their congregations. And so the first thing we did in the COVID effort of following flu was working with the governor, who went directly to religious leaders to answer the question of access. Many people in our communities did not want to stand in the hour-long lines at M&T. They didn't want to walk a mile from their park to the stadium. But they wanted vaccines brought to them by people they trusted and using the names and reputations of those leaders and those synagogues, churches, and mosques. We were able to answer the question of access. And so that was a major piece and a major success.
You told Stat News, which covers health issues, that your intent is not to convince people to take the shot, but to bring them facts. So what do conversations about the vaccine sound like? What concerns and questions do you hear?
I think the first thing that it sounds like is respect. I think the first thing it sounds like, in addition to that, is understanding their perspective. That looking at the situation realistically, if you look at not just the history, but the current existence of unequal treatment among people of color as it relates to healthcare institutions, that they are justified in their fear. They are justified in terms of their hesitation, and not going to them in a paternal way, but going to them in an attempt to empathize with where they are. Even many of us who received the vaccine, like myself, I had fear. And so it's utilizing faith and facts to address their fears. So it's empathy, it's respect, it's ensuring we're not treating them paternally. It's understanding Health Department Hopkins that it's the name and reputation and the integrity of religious leaders that is allowing them to gain access to communities that before this process, they didn't have access to. And so it's important for us to maintain that integrity.
What if conversations about the vaccine get heated? How do you lower the temperature?
Oh, they do all the time. They do all the time. But the heat is different in sacred space. So when I bought in, for example, Pfizer, Sanofi, and Johns Hopkins into a prayer service, or when I brought in representatives of Robert Wood Johnson to multiple congregations to a listening session, everyone on that line understands the dynamics of church. So people may disagree in church, but there's a certain sacred dynamic that says, we're going to be respectful. It's not necessarily a democracy. And that guy in the pulpit, in the center seat, or young lady, they are in charge. So we may express our differences, but it will not be profane. It will not be disrespectful. It will be conducted in a godly and respectful way, in the same way we structure church. Now, just because we're on Zoom or Microsoft Teams doesn't matter. It's still church. It's still a religious experience. And my objective is to bring you truth. My objective is to look out for you in terms of your mind, your body, and your spirit. And these people that are coming in are not in charge. Science is not going to supersede the sacred work of the sanctuary. We are considering the facts, but we are people of faith. And so that's how the process works.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with the Reverend Terrace King, pastor of Liberty Grace Church of God in Baltimore. He's been working with interfaith and public health leaders to bring information about the COVID-19 vaccines to the community. So if someone decides they are ready to get the vaccine, how do you help them take the next step?
So part of what we've done across the city is we've given almost 75 pop-ups. And these are where churches and their members as volunteers work with, and I arrange with pharmaceutical companies to come in, or pharmacists to come in and work with them to give the vaccines, or hospital entities come in and give the vaccine as well. And they advertise it both to their members and to the communities that are around them. And so they set a date, they really push the event, and it happens. Now we're moving to another stage. And the stage we're in consultation about now is one where we can have more permanent sites, maybe four or five, whatever the right number would be, across the city, where individuals would know longer term, this is a place I can go. Because now the process has moved from those who had access and equity issues to those who are just hesitant. and they need conversation and they need communication and a dialogue back and forth that is respectful to convince them, because their trepidation is even deeper, many times for justifiable reasons. And so instead of converting them, we will supply platforms to have those conversations and then point them in the direction of semi-permanent sites as we continue to work, where as they are convinced and want to make that decision for themselves and their families, they have a place to go.
Why is it important to you that churches be involved, not just in ministry, but in this kind of public health action?
I think that the church has a responsibility for every aspect of the human being. We are there, and we've always supplied the mental health piece that wasn't called mental health. We've always looked to the spirit, but I think the church has embraced the issue of health concerns as well. I think it's important in terms of advocacy and pushing policy, but it also opens up an opportunity. We've been used as many clinics now. So the church should be used after this in terms of a post-COVID plan where we are educating our communities related to chronic disease. We are there as it relates to a vaccine location in the future as additional boosters are needed. We are there for the purposes of keeping our congregation and our communities whole, because we serve the whole man. That is our responsibility.
The last time you and I spoke, Rabbi Mitchell Wolberg of Beth Tefillah joined us, and we talked about Temple X, an augmented reality program developed by your son that explores the connections between the African-American and Jewish communities of Ashburton. This project is going to be used to address learning loss this summer. How so?
Well, one of the things that has happened, and I really appreciate you mentioning this, because this has been a real issue during COVID, is the learning loss, the tremendous learning loss that we have suffered. My son, Terrace King II, has had conversations with the CEO of Baltimore City Public Schools, Dr. Sandra Lisa, and her staff. And one of the things that they have talked about is piloting in four churches, Temple X, over the summer in all parts of Baltimore, in Latino communities, West Baltimore, East Baltimore, to pilot a process using technology and helping them grow in areas like reading for our younger kids. And he's an international teacher who unfortunately was brought back here because of COVID from Shanghai, China. And he's teaching now at Park School, but he is committed to this piece over the summer. And so we're really, really looking forward to an opportunity to partner between churches and our school system in Baltimore. It's high time for us to do more than criticize, but to become a part of the solution.
How interesting. We'll keep in touch about that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Reverend Dr. Terrace King is the pastor of Liberty Grace Church of God in Baltimore's Ashburton neighborhood. He had a 30-year career in government health care. He founded the Office of Minority Health at the Centers of Medicare and Medicaid Services. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you're with us. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.